And if you have your Bible and would like to read along with me, we're going to be reading this morning from the book of St. John, chapter 15. St. John, chapter 15. Hallelujah. Praise God. St. John, chapter 15, beginning with the first verse, and this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said in chapter 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, or he prunes it, he crops it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Then he says in verse 3, Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Let me read that again. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch, we are the branches. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. How many know the branch has to be connected to the vine? The branch has to be connected to the tree in order for it to produce fruit. He says, ye cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And I love this next little piece of this verse, because it resonates in my spirit. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And it is this seventh verse this morning that I want you to pay particular attention to, because I find it absolutely profound. Jesus said in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The God's Word translation says, if you live in me and what I say lives in you, then you shall ask anything you want, and it shall be yours. That's pretty powerful stuff. And I didn't make it up. He said it. Amen. If you live in me and my word is living in your heart, living in your spirit, then ye shall ask what you want and it shall be yours. Bow your heads, please, this morning, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord for his help, for his anointing in ministering his word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful this morning, Lord, that you have given to us the opportunity to be in the house of God. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for these that have come, these that have gathered, and these that will hear your word by way of the internet site. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your anointing and your spirit will rest upon me, that you will give me the ability that I do not possess within myself, the ability to speak your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will touch my mind and inspire my thoughts, that you will touch my lips and empower what is spoken through these lips of clay. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give me the anointing and the unction to minister your word. Use me here this morning. Bless me to be a blessing, for without you, I can do nothing. I look to you. I honor you. I trust you. I ask you for your help. I pray that everything that is said and everything that is done will be done to honor Christ, and that will be done to glorify the people of God. And Father, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. We ask them in Jesus' name. Everyone in agreement said amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to title my message this morning, A 30-30 Challenge. And y'all could tell my wife is a real hunter, right? Not. Amen. That's all right. She bats those big eyes and she drops this buck in a hurry. She's a hunter in a way, I guess. A 30-30 challenge. So this morning, I want to begin concerning talking about the Word of God and the importance of God's Word in our life. I find this seventh verse that Jesus spoke here in our text absolutely profound. And if we get it in our heart, if we get it in our spirit, I honestly believe with all of my heart, it will transform us from the inside out. It will literally revolutionize who we are, amen, and what we are able to achieve for God through Him. Listen to this seventh verse again. It blows my socks off. Jesus said, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be, not might be, not could possibly be, but it shall be done unto you." We all like the ask and it shall be part, right? I mean, we lock in on that ask and it shall be. But what about the prerequisites that he listed in connection with the asking? Amen. What about the abiding in him part? What about the word abiding in us part? Because there are two prerequisites to the it shall be done. We all like the it shall be done. We all would like to have more of the it shall be done happening in our life. Amen. Mm-hmm. But just notice this morning that there are two prerequisites that are connected with the it shall be done. So let me just suggest to you this morning that if we are not seeing the it shall be done part of this verse happening in our life, then we must not be meeting one of the two prerequisites. Does that make sense? Can you say amen with that? Amen. How many of you here this morning would like to see more of the quote, unquote, it shall be done part happening on a daily basis in your life? Let me see your hand. Yes. I got both of mine up. We would all like to have more of the it shall be done part. But what about the two prerequisites? What about the part of him abiding in us and his word abiding in our hearts and us abiding in him? Let me just deal for just a few moments with those two prerequisites. Jesus said, if you abide in me, how many of us here this morning are abiding in Christ? Amen. What does that mean, preacher? It means that we are, amen, we have made Jesus the Lord of our life and that we are striving on a continual basis, on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. We are striving to have a more intimate relationship and a more intimate fellowship with Him in our life. It means that we have made Him not just Lord in our life, but that we have made Him Lord of all of our life. And let me just remind you that our text says that without him, amen, that we can do nothing. Our text says that without him, we cannot produce good fruit. Amen. And let me just also add a little nugget of truth here this morning, that without abiding in him, we cannot have the it shall be done happening on a regular basis in our life. We must have, amen, a connection, and we must have, amen, a solid connection to the vine. He is the vine. So we must be abiding in him. Amen. A limb off of a vine, a grapevine, cannot produce fruit laying in the middle of the freeway. Not going to happen. It's got to be connected to the, it's got to be connected to the vine. It's got to be connected to the source. We must be connected to the source. He is that source. Prerequisite number one, he says, if you abide in me, oh God, help us this morning to understand that we must be abiding in him, abiding, striving daily, moment by moment, to have an intimate relationship and an intimate fellowship with him. That's what it means to be abiding in him. And now look at the very next word of that verse. It brings about the prerequisite number two. The very next word is a little word that is a conjunction. And it says, and. That little word, and, means, pay attention, what I am about to say is connected to what I already said. What I am about to say is in connection with what I just said. You can't just have one, you have to have the other. They're connected. You see that? So prerequisite number one is Jesus said, you must be abiding in me and connected. Connected with what I just said. And my words must be alive and abiding in you. His word must be abiding within us. His word must be abiding in our hearts. His word must be down on the inside, not just head knowledge, but the word has to get down on the inside of our heart where it becomes a living word in our spirit, a living word, a living revelation down in our heart. What I'm saying this morning is if maybe we are abiding in him, but if we're not receiving the it shall be done in our life the way we would like to see it, amen, on a regular basis, maybe the problem is that we haven't allowed his word to get down in our heart. Maybe we have, amen, maybe we are abiding in him. Maybe we are striving to have that close connection. Maybe we are striving to have that close fellowship. But maybe the problem is we're not getting enough of the word in us to make a difference in us. And let me just tell you this morning, if the only word that you are receiving, amen, in your spirit or in your life is what you hear here at Elevation Worship Center on a Sunday morning, it's not enough. Amen. If you're not picking up your Bible and reading your Bible on a daily basis, and you're not getting the word in your spirit on a daily basis, you're not getting enough. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's up to us to pick up the word, and it's up to us to get the word down in our heart. And then the Holy Spirit can take that word and do something mighty in us. Amen, amen, amen. If we want to see more of the it shall be done, and we are abiding in Christ, then let me just suggest to you this morning, maybe our problem with not seeing enough it shall be done is the fact that we don't have enough of prerequisite number two taking place in our life. I'm talking about how important the word of God is to us. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, his word is food for our spirit. His word is food for our soul. And let me just tell you, if you don't feed the natural man, what happens? He starves. He gets weak. My wife said he gets cranky. That's true. Hello? If you don't feed the natural man, he gets weak. If you don't feed the natural man, he begins to search for something. And if you don't feed him for a great period of time, he literally starves to death. Well, what do you think happens to our spirit? Same thing. Amen. We come to the house of the Lord on Sunday, hear the word of the Lord ministered and preached to our heart, and we feel encouraged. Amen. But then we don't get enough word throughout the week, and we don't pick up our Bible and allow the word of God to penetrate our spirit. We don't study the word, and we don't get into the word, and there's not enough word getting it up. We may be abiding in him. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want the it shall be done, you got to be abiding in him, and you got to have his word abiding in you. Amen. Jesus said in John chapter 6, Verse number 63, he said, it is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. And then listen to what he said. He said, my words, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. His word is spirit and his word is life. If you want life and having it more abundantly, and you want to see that it shall be done part of verse number 7 in our text on a more regular basis, if you want to empower your prayer life, amen, don't just be found abiding in him, but let the devil know his word is abiding in me. His word is down in my spirit. I see the circumstance, but I know what God said. I see the problem, but I know what my God has proclaimed. And my God's word, amen, shall dominate my heart. Let every man be a liar, the Bible said, but let God's word be true. I'm going to get carried away.
Too late.
Too late. I think we should have a rapture drill. So, I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of God's word in our life. Why is his word so profoundly important to us? Number one, let me tell you what God says about his word. God says that his word is powerful. If you had a vacuum cleaner sitting in your living room, and you didn't have it plugged in, would it do you any good? None. You gotta plug into the power. You gotta plug into the power source. God says his word, this is God, this is what God says about his word. Amen. His word is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. This is what God says about his word. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful. That's King James. The American Standard says that the word of God is living and active. His word is living and alive. How many of you ever picked up your Bible and read a verse and you had read it 100 times, but it just leapt off the page and you went, wow, I never saw that before. You know why? Because it's alive, it's active, it's powerful, it's alive. The Bible goes on to say that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul, amen, and the spirit, and dividing both the joints and the marrow, amen, and is quick. The Bible said his word is quick to discern the thoughts and the intent of our heart. Amen. It is quick to discern the thoughts and the motives of our life. The word is quick and powerful. It is powerful. It is effective. What he's saying is it is sharper than any two-edged sword because it penetrates past the flesh. It penetrates past the physical body. It's comprehensive in its effects. It reaches all the way down into our spirit and the various functions of an individual's life. And let me just tell you this morning that the emphasis is not being made upon the separation of one body part from another, but the idea is to convey that God's word has the power and is so powerful that it penetrates all the way down to the innermost secrets of our heart. It penetrates all the way down to the motives of our life. It penetrates all the way down to the purposes that we have set in our mind. God's word is able to discern the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And sometimes our thoughts are not so pure, and sometimes our motives are not so great, and the word of God gets down all the way past the junk and goes, you need to shape up. Hello? You need to shape up. His word is powerful. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 29 said that his word is like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. How many of you have ever had an old stony place in your heart Amen. And you just were set, you know, set in your way, and you just had this old, maybe old resentment or old, you know, the Bible said that his word is like a crushing hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. In other words, his word is able to penetrate our heart and break up the fallow ground. His word is able to get down on the inside of us and soften what is hard and break up those pieces. His word, the Bible declares, is a light. Life-giving force. His word is a saving power. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it, the gospel, the word of God, it is the power of God unto salvation. For therein the word of God is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith and from glory to glory. As it is written, he said, the just shall live by faith. His word is a defensive weapon in our hand. Does not the Bible say that his word, amen, is like the sword of the Spirit? It is mighty in influence. It gives light to the soul of man. It gives bread to the hungry. The Bible said by the word of God that the heavens and the earth were formed. Amen. Kingdoms have risen and fell by the word of God. The word of God teaches us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 that he right now, this day, right this moment, he is upholding all things by the word of his power. I said his word is powerful. Amen. And if we want to be effective, then we need to plug into the power source, and we need to allow the word of it. We may be abiding in Christ, but possibly the reason that we're not seeing that it shall be done happen on a regular basis is we're abiding in him, but we're not allowing enough of the word to abide in us. The word will transform your life. It'll transform the way you think. It'll transform, amen, the way you see things. Amen. You begin to see it from God's perspective and the word of God's perspective. It'll give you a whole new outlook on life. Number two, this is what God says about his word. The second thing that God says about his word is he tells us that his word is spirit inspired. His word is Holy Ghost inspired. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. This is what the Bible says. It says, all scripture, not some of it, not part of it, but all of it. How many of you like all of it? Amen. Yeah, sometimes, right? Until it, you know, knocks us upside the head and we realize we need to change. And then we're like, I don't know if I like that part. Hello? But he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of who? Man? No. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And then he says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect, may be completely mature, may have everything that we need, that the man or woman of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, the word of God is able to equip us and empower us, amen, to have everything that we need to be successful and run a successful Christian race. It's spirit inspired. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 21. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy, Peter said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In other words, that Bible that you are holding in your hand did not come from the inspiration of man. It is not the idea of a man. It is not the philosophy of a man. It is not the ideology of a man's personal agenda, but it is the inspired word of God, the inspired, infallible, holy word of the living God. Amen. God said, my word, amen, was inspired of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, why is that important? I've told you this before. Let me share it again with you this morning. The Bible is a collection of 66 books. 40 different writers from Genesis to Revelation. 40 different writers. 66 books, 40 different writers, and thousands of years between, amen, in the beginning God created and the last verse in Genesis. But it has one author, and that is the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God spoke and wrote as they were inspired or as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know why it all jives? You know why it all is in harmony? Because there was one author, and that author was none other than the Holy Ghost of God. Can I tell you, this morning we may be abiding in the Lord, but we need to be inspired of the Holy Spirit. We need the inspired, infallible Word of God living down on the inside of us, not in our head, but in our heart. And when we abide in Him and His Word is alive and active in our spirit, it'll change the way we think. And we can ask what we will, and it shall be. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's the key to it shall be. You got to be in Him, and you got to have His Word in you. Amen. Amen. His Word is His bond, and He is bound to His Word. Let me say that again. His Word is His bond, and He is bound to His Word. There used to be a day when men would strike hands and say, I give you my word, and you could count on it. Some folks you can still do that with. Some folks you better not even try. Hello? But with God, this is what God says about His Word. He says, my word is my bond, and I am bound to my word. Did He say it just like that? No, He put it this way. You'll find it in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have I said it, and shall I not do it? Have I spoken it, and shall I not make it good? And the Bible says, answer that question. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible said, amen, that we can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because He is faithful who promised. In other words, amen, if God said it, you can believe it. If God said it, He's watching over that word. If God said it, He'll do it. If God spoke it, He'll make it true in your life. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, God speaking, He says, I will hasten my word to perform it. I will hasten my word. The God's word puts it this way. God says, I am watching to make sure that my words come true. That's good enough for me. Amen. God said, I am watching to make sure that my words come true. That's why we need to have His Word in our heart. His Word, amen, is spirit inspired. His Word gives us life. His Word gives us strength. The Bible said that His Word is like a light, amen, or a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. His Word gives us knowledge and understanding. His Word gives us wisdom and gives us hope, amen, in the face of our future. Thank God this morning for the infallible, incorruptible seed of the Word of the Holy Ghost of God that came to be in our lives. Number one, His Word is powerful. Number two, His Word is spirit inspired. Number three, this is what God says about His Word. Number three, God says that His Word is eternal. Everybody say eternal. Somebody said, well, you know, maybe it was good for then, but I don't know about now. His word is eternal. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is eternal. Psalms 119, verse 89, the Bible said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 18, amen, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, not one jot and one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till it all is fulfilled." Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8 said, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 25 said, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." In other words, amen, God is telling you that what he has spoke was good for yesterday. What he has spoke is good for today. And if you face some trouble tomorrow, amen, what he spoke is good for tomorrow. All you got to be doing is abiding in him and his word abiding in you, and you can ask what you will and it shall be done.
Amen.
Unto you. Number four, what God says about his word. Number four, God says about his word that his word inspires faith. His word inspires faith. Let me just tell you something this morning. There is only one thing that can create faith in your life, and that's the word of God. That's it. I can preach to challenge your faith. I can preach to encourage your faith. I could tell you testimonies. I could take up the rest of the morning and half of the afternoon telling you testimonies of miracles that I have seen God do down through the years. And it would, you know, kind of stir your faith and encourage your heart. But there's only one thing that creates faith, and that's God's word. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17, the Bible said, "So then faith comes." How does it come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And let me just remind you this morning that the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Let me just remind you this morning that the Bible said that the just are those who are justified in the sight of God. The just shall live by faith. Amen. If we're going to please God, if we're going to, amen, walk in faith, then we've got to have some of the word down on the inside of our heart, because the word creates faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, whenever you hear God's word, whenever God speaks to your heart, whenever his word becomes a logos, a living word in your spirit, it causes faith. It causes faith. It causes faith in your spirit. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, one word from God can make you a giant in faith. One word from God can make you look circumstance and trouble in the eye and say, "I believe God." Why? Because his word imparts faith into our spirit. His word, faith, cometh. And if you ain't hearing the word, his faith cometh and cometh by the hearing of the word. If you ain't hearing the word, faith ain't coming. Hello? If you ain't hearing the word, if you're not in the word, faith ain't coming. I need victory. Well, you're never going to have victory without hearing the word, because faith ain't coming until you hear the word. What does that mean? It means that you have to find out what God has to say about your situation. And when you find out what God has to say about your situation, faith will rise up in your spirit. And you can ask what you will, and it shall be. It shall be done unto you. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Faith cometh, faith cometh. You may not have the victory here this morning in your spirit to just claim the faith or claim the victory or claim the miracle that you need. But I'm here to tell you, amen, if you stay in the word, faith will just keep right on coming.
Faith will, if I named my wife Faith this morning and said, baby, get up and walk toward me. If I just kept looking at Faith and Faith just kept coming, amen, pretty soon Faith would arrive. Hello? That's the way God's word is. That's the way God's word is. We may not have the faith to have the victory right now here today, but we need to get in the word of God. And when the word of God gets in us and faith begins to come and faith, and when faith shows up and makes a connection with our spirit and it comes alive, amen, we are like, hey, there ain't a devil in hell that can change my mind. I know what God said and I believe God. I read a story years ago. Smith Wigglesworth was in a home, and there was a woman in the upper stairs on the second floor that was diagnosed with MS, or diagnosed with something. She was confined to her bed. And the story went, Smith Wigglesworth went up to the upper, prayed with her, and said, I want you to hang on to the scripture. I want you to quote the scripture every day. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Sickness is a curse of the law, and I am the healed of the Lord. Prayed with her. She wasn't immediately raised up, but he said, I want you every day. I want you to read this scripture in Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Sickness is a curse of the law, and I am the redeemed of the Lord. He said 3 days later, they were downstairs having breakfast. And all of a sudden, they heard something tapping up on the second floor of the roof above them. And she come running down the stairs and said, hey, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Christ has redeemed me from the curse. What happened? The word got in her. And the it shall be got in. Amen. I said the it shall be will get done when you get the word in you. Amen. So faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the way God's word puts it. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 17 in the God's word translation. So faith comes from hearing the message, and the message that is heard is what Christ spoke. That's what brings faith. Nothing else can create faith. You can listen to good music and feel Holy Ghost doodads so big on the back of your neck that you can hang a hat on them and you can feel fine and you can just have yourself a time of the, but the word brings faith. Amen. I mean, I love to preach, I love to shout, I love to exalt the Lord, but faith comes by the word. Faith comes by what Christ said. Amen. So we need to get the word into our spirit. Amen. Number five, this is what God says about his word. Number five, God's word produces results. God's word produces results. We all want the results, and we all want to see the it shall be done part in our life. But the only way to have the it shall be done, the only way to have results, amen, is to be abiding in the Lord and his word abiding in us, because his word brings results. I'm going to give you a scripture in Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 11. I'm going to read it slowly. You might even want to take a moment to look it up. I've been quoting a lot of scriptures this morning, and I know I don't give you time to look it up, but you might want to look this one up and mark it down. This is what God says about his word bringing results. Isaiah 55, verse number 11. God said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper, it shall produce, it shall produce results. It'll bring forth results. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. It will not, everybody say will not. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what it was sent to do. I said, God's word produces results. God has promised that his word will prosper in the thing that he has sent it to accomplish. His word will prosper and it will produce results, amen, in what it has been sent to produce results in. How many of you know he said, abide in me and my words abide in you. He wants his word to find a lodging place in our heart. His word is powerful. His word is spirit inspired. His word is eternal. Amen. God's word produces faith. God's word produces results. Why do we need, amen, why is the word of God important? Why do we need the word of God on a daily basis? Because his word brings faith. His word brings strength. His word brings results. His word brings power. His word empowers our life. We need to have the word of God. And if we're just abiding in him, but his word is not abiding in us, then there is not going to be, it shall be. But brother, when we get the two connected, there can be some it shall be done in our life.
So, with that in mind, I praying this last week, spending time in prayer and asking the Lord what he would have us to minister this morning.
My wife and I were speaking, I'm going to tell you, as we were driving up to McCall last weekend. She, you know, took me away for the weekend, or took me away for Friday night and Saturday. And while we were driving up the hill, her and I were talking about the importance of prayer and about the importance of God's word and about, you know, getting more of the word into our spirit. And her, as we talked, I said, you know, those that study behavior in human behavior, they say that it takes about 30 days for us to develop a new discipline in our life. If we do something regularly for 30 days, then it becomes natural to us, becomes a natural thing to us. That's why when, you know, when we were really small, Mama said, you know, every night before bed, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth, go brush your teeth. And pretty soon we caught on, time to brush our teeth, right? So we, in order to gain a discipline, they say that it takes, you know, 30 days for us to be faithful at doing that. And then it just becomes a natural part of our life. And again, my wife and I are talking about the word and talking about prayer and talking about, you know, digging in and spending. She said, oh, it would be wonderful. Have a 30-30 challenge. And I went, wow, that'll preach, girl. That'll preach. So, 30 minutes a day for 30 days, I challenge you to get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God and just see what the Word of God does in your life when God's Word gets in you. A 30-30 challenge, 30 minutes a day for 30 days with the Word of God. You say, but Pastor Gary, I don't know where to start. I'm going to help. And the reason I wanted to go this route, I know that there are Bible apps and, you know, and there are all kinds of, you know, different 30-day devotionals, all kinds of things like that. But, you know, I wanted to do a handout because I want us all to be on the same page, studying the same thing, getting the same word into our... Can you imagine what God can do with us if we all get in one place and in one accord? Amen. Get the word down in our spirit. We're all studying the same thing. Hello? So for 30 minutes, for 30 days, you say, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. I challenge you this morning. Just see what God does through his word in your life. This little handout, it's not a Gary original. It was made by Zondervan. Zondervan is a Christian publishing company. They produce Bibles and they publish all kinds of things. This is and their 30-day thing here, or their 30-day reading outline is called 30 Days with Jesus. Amen. We're gonna get to know Jesus. 30 days with Jesus. And 30 minutes every day for 30 days. We're going to begin on February the 1st and go right through March the 2nd. February the 1st and go right through March the 2nd. Amen. 30 minutes for 30 days in God's word. And this is, I prayed, I said, Lord, how can I encourage them to, you know, how can I encourage them to spend that 30 minutes? Somebody said, oh my word, I don't think I can take 30 minutes. Oh, sure you can. You know, you would find out how much time you could spend with something if it really becomes important to you. Amen. Well, maybe I should duck after saying that. Right?
I mean, if it really becomes important, you can, I've seen, when my kids were little, I saw them play video games for an hour. And I'd have to come by and go, get off of that thing. Go outside and play. Right? Amen. So I said, God, how can I encourage them to spend that 30 minutes? What would you have me do? This is what the Lord kind of spoke into my heart. The first thing that I would like for us to do, I don't care if you do this in the morning. I don't care if you do it. You know, I rise really early and spend a little time in prayer and time in the Word, and Bill back there is going, yep, me too. But I don't care if you, my wife does not rise early. But there are evenings when she's studying and I'm not. So I don't care if you do it in the, I don't care if you do it in the morning, if you do it in the afternoon, if you find time in the evening, whenever you find time. But this is what I feel like the Lord wanted me to bring to you. What I would like for us to do when we begin that 30-minute period is just start with thanksgiving. Start with prayer and just thanksgiving, and just begin to thank God for all of His blessings in your life. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, when my children were small, I mean, you know, they were always coming and saying, Daddy, can I have, and Daddy, can I ask you, and all that sort of thing. But there were times that they came to me and said, Dad, I just want to thank you for all of the things that, you know, you have provided, and for your advice, and I just wanted to say thank you. And oh, my goodness. Moms and dads go, yeah, I know what you're talking about, right? It just melted my heart, right? It just melts your heart. That's what I want to do with our Father. I just want you to start that 30 minutes by just opening up and saying, God, you have been so gracious to me, so good to me, and so many blessings in my life that I just can't even count them all. And I want to thank you. I want to give you honor to whom honor is due. And I just want to glorify you. And I just want to thank you for your goodness. And then I want you to just kind of move from thanksgiving into prayer and begin to ask God, Lord, I'm about to open your word and I'm about to study your word. And I just pray that you would enlighten my spirit. Give me revelation. Open my eyes like scales pulled off of my eyes. Just pull the scales off my eyes and let me see the truth of your word, and let it just get down on the inside of me. I'm hungry for wisdom, and I'm hungry for your word, and I'm hungry for a deeper revelation of you, and I'm hungry for more of the it shall be done in my life. And pray for those, amen, who are here in Elevation Worship Center. Pray. The Bible said that we are to pray one for another. Pray for those, amen, pray for those that are in the body. Pray for the leadership. Not only pray for Elevation Worship Center, but spend a few moments praying, God, bless the other churches in the community. How many of you know there's room for all of them to grow? There's room for all of them to expand, because God's kingdom wants to grow.
Amen.
Begin to pray. Ask God to bless those here in the valley. And then just begin to read the outline for the day. Begin to read that scripture outline. You might want to journal. I'm not big on journaling, but my wife loves to journal. But you might want to journal, you know, what you've read and what the Lord spoke to your heart concerning those scriptures as you spent some time reading and studying His word concerning Himself. And then finally, the final thing, as you close in prayer and, you know, go on about your day or even about your evening, meditate upon what you have read. You know, that word meditate, you know, is thrown out there a lot. But you know what really meditate means? It means chew on it a while. It means contemplate it. I mean, you know, all too often we are, you know, we do something and we are up and moving and we are like a jackrabbit on another trail, right? I mean, we have got other fish to fry. I watched a little video this past week. This guy comes in and it's at Coffee with Jesus. I don't know, you could probably YouTube it. But it had a great message, but it really made me laugh. Jesus is dressed, you know, in the robe and sandals, and he's sitting in a little coffee shop. And this guy comes in, he's got his paperwork, and he comes in and he goes, "Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm late. Wow, I just, you know, I mean, the traffic was bad and everything, but you know, no, listen, okay, I need to talk to you." And Jesus was like, "Well, I just," and he wouldn't even give him an opportunity to speak. And he just rambles through all the things that he's like, "Oh my, look at the time. Where did it go? Well, thanks, Jesus, thanks for meeting with me," and off he goes.
And Jesus never had even a moment to speak to him. And oftentimes we do the Lord that same way, because we are in such a hurry. So what I want to ask you to do, meditate upon what you've read. What did he speak to your heart? What did the words of the verses mean that you studied? Take some time to contemplate it. Take some time to get it down on the inside. And just see if there isn't some more "it shall be" happening in your life at the end of 30 days. What happens if I start and I miss a day? Well, good for you for trying. Pick up where you left off. Nobody's going to condemn you. He's not going to sit back and go, "Well, you've already blown it. Look at you." Right? That's not God. So what do? Pick up where you left off. Just keep going. Just keep moving. 30 days for 30 minutes. 30 minutes a day for 30 days. Amen. And let's just see if God won't give us some more "it shall be done" at the end of that. Because if we are abiding in him, the only thing withholding the "it shall be done" is his word abiding in us. So let's get some of the word abiding in us. And watch the word transform us. And watch the word empower us. And watch the word bring faith and strength and light and revelation to our life. Amen. Bow your heads, please, all over the building. Would you please? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the challenge of your word. I thank you this morning that your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That it's able to reach all the way down into our heart and reveal the rights and the wrongs and the motives and the intents of our life. That it's able to bring faith to our lives. That it's able to bring light and revelation and wisdom and satisfaction to our heart. Like natural bread to the natural man, your word is food and spirit to our soul. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we endeavor to put this challenge into place, come February the 1st, Lord, we begin with 30 days of Jesus, 30 days with Jesus. I pray, Father, that throughout it, you will enlighten your people. Your word is not something that is obscure. We just need to take the time to read it, to get it in our heart. And allow it to change us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless those that determine to take the challenge. I have no doubt that the enemy will come along and try to hinder. I have no doubt that the enemy will come along and try to tell them that, you know, well, you already missed yesterday, so you might as well miss today. The enemy is a liar. Help us just to pick right back up. And just keep right on going. And Father, I pray that your word will do what it was sent to do. Empower your people. Empower the hearts of your people. Empower the saints of God with your word, I ask. And I ask it, Lord, for the glory of God, that there may be more "it shall be done" on an individual basis and on a corporate basis. In individual lives and in our church. That Christ may be glorified by your word. I ask all of these things, Lord, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. Everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Amen.